Hey folks, in this interview, I'm sitting down with Nigel Barker. He's the creative director of Mimeo Photos.
This is Twit.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. A little something special for you guys today. I'm sitting down with someone whose name you probably have heard once or twice before in photographic circles or on television. His name is Nigel Barker, and he is the creative director behind a company that's doing some cool stuff to help you take your digital memories and create atoms from them that can hang on the wall, or actually books that you can put on your bookshelf and do some other cool stuff with. It is really interesting what they're doing, and it's also interesting his take on the permanence of print versus the non-permanence of digital. So I want to welcome Nigel Barker to This Week in Photo. How you doing, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you on. I was excited to get you on because I've known who you are for several years. But you know, to be able to sit down with you and have a conversation about photography is kind of cool. So I just want to put the fanboy stuff out of the way there first before you get
going. Thank you very much. That's very sweet of you to say. But I do love the fact that there are so many people out there in the world today who have access to a camera, albeit on their phone, but nonetheless, the phone is, quite frankly, these days, pretty good, decent camera half the time. So there's like a billion new photographers out there who are all excited about the medium. So for me, I'm like a kid in a candy store nowadays because everyone wants to talk pictures.
I love that. You know, let's start with that. You know, normally when I do these interviews, I like to start with a little background on the photographer, kind of what you've done, how you got started in this stuff before we dive into the sort of meat of the interview. What drove Nigel Barker into photography, and what are some of the things that you've done that we may have heard about?
Well, you know, absolutely. You sort of mentioned it at the top that I've been on television. You know, I was the judge and photographer on America's Next Top Model for 17 seasons.
Wow.
And it helped influence really a generation of people when it came to fashion and photography and what it looked like, what that meant. You know, what was the world of fashion photography? And I took people into my world and how that process sort of broke down, how I spoke to models, you know, from the actual inception of the idea when I talked to Miss J and J Manuel and we created our concepts and with Tyra and we'd all brainstorm and then actually come up with the idea and shoot it on location and you'd see the raw imagery, you'd see how we spoke to the models and then you'd see the final product. And that, you know, we were on television with that one show for 13 years.
Wow.
I then went on to host The Face with Naomi Campbell for 2 years. And more recently, I created my own show with Adorama, the photography department store in New York City and one of the oldest ones in the US. And that show is called Top Photographer with Nigel Barker and is a YouTube show. So I've been involved with basically bringing photography to people since before Instagram, since before Twitter, since before Facebook almost. So it's really been, you know, a very sort of special ride. In fact, my very first show on America's Next Top Model, my first photo shoot, which was the Garden of Eden photo shoot that I did, an incredible photo shoot where we had 13 models and we painted them head to toe. And it was actually, they were nude in the pictures, although they were painted. And this is before Janet Jackson's nipple moment, Nipplegate happened.
The wardrobe malfunction, right?
We weren't allowed to do nudes after that on television. But prior to that, we were. Can you believe it? So thank you, Janet. Anyway, you know, we did that photo shoot. That was the very first time that we had brought digital cameras and I had worked with them. And we actually had 5 Mamiya digital cameras brought over from Germany. And each one of them broke systematically during the shoot. And finally, the last one worked and we were able to complete the shoot. But that was the very first time we'd shot with digital cameras in New York City. And Mamiya had brought the cameras over for us to use on television as this big sort of debut. So we really have been there since the beginning of this particular, you know, the digital revolution of photography in the world, actually.
Yeah. See, that's crazy. I mean, and I know you and I could probably talk for hours about that stuff and I could just sort of geek out and live vicariously through your history.
It's one of those things too. I shave my head so people don't know how old I am.
I know the feeling. There's some gray coming up in here too. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about, and I sort of said this in the tease, the importance of print. Right. And going in that direction versus what I call it, you know, with social media and Instagram, you know, obviously great mediums, great tools for photographers to use. But I kind of call it the never ending toilet paper roll of photography. Right. It's here for a minute and then it's gone, you know, for the most part. What's your perception, especially considering your history with print and photography and celebrities and that sort of thing? Is where do you stand on the permanence of print versus the sort of non-permanence of digital?
Let me first of all talk about why I embrace digital, because I think there's a lot of photographers out there, certainly the old school photographers who are professional. This is what they do for a living. And many of them don't like social media. They don't like the fact that Instagram is a sort of a portfolio for people to show their work. Yeah. They, you know, they feel that there's too many sort of tricks that people use to maybe make a picture look good or whatever it might be. They don't like the competition. They don't like the flux of many, many different people taking pictures. And certainly when I started, there was no such thing as a degree in photography. That didn't exist, right? You had to apprentice a photographer. You had to be their intern. You had to be their assistant to learn. Or you picked up a camera and you worked it out, you figured it out, and you picked a sort of an area of photography that you wanted to do, whether it was wedding photography, whether you tried to get into fashion photography, whether you were a portrait guy, whatever it might be, you kind of figured it out with your nature, wildlife, all those sorts of things. And as we know now, there are literally dozens and dozens and dozens of different types of photographer you can be. Mm-hmm. It's actually a really kind of cool career. Yeah. And it's very creative. But when I started, it was very expensive too, because you had to buy film and each roll of film had a price and then you had to process it. And there were 36 pictures on a roll of 35 mil or 10 on a roll of 1020 or 120 and so on and so forth. So it was very specific, very expensive. It wasn't just shoot, do as many as you want, take thousands of pictures, pick the best one out of 10,000 pictures. Right. It was, no, I'm going to shoot maybe three rolls of film if I can afford it, maybe four. And on a big commercial job, you might get five or six rolls of film. That equates to maybe 100, 200 pictures total for a shot. So you do the math. It's a very different kind of thing. That's why there was this sort of people who were upset. They didn't think other people deserved the opportunity. But of course, you know, advancement doesn't wait for any of those sorts of things. But this is where photography was going. And one of the things that I love about the fact that now, here we are, it's 2018, there are over something like 2 billion people with cameras on their phones, and they have access. What it's done for me, and what it's done for the world at large, it's given access to everyone to be able to be creative through the photographic lens that they never had before. Yeah. Imagine, for example, if you were to not give children pencils, and they never learned to write, they never learned to draw, it would change the world we live in today.
Yeah.
If only very few people were given a pencil and said, you learn to write, you learn to draw, that the rest will not get that opportunity because it's expensive to buy a pencil, so we're not going to allow it. We wouldn't have as many authors. We wouldn't have as many, you know, people who can paint, draw, artists, creatives. The world would not be as magnificent as it is today, but we allow people to express themselves through writing and through drawing and painting because they have access to pencils. And so when you go to a third world country, sometimes one of the greatest things you can do is bring pencils and pens to them so they can actually demonstrate. I believe that en masse, by putting cameras on phones and giving access to people all over the world, they may not have the technical ability, which, by the way, you can learn. Like driving a car, you can learn. You may not be a NASCAR driver. You may not be a Formula One racing car driver, but you can learn to drive, right? But same way with a camera. You can learn to use the camera. But what you can't necessarily teach is the eye. But what we've seen en masse, and it's a beautiful thing, is that there are many, many amazingly talented photographers who have an incredible eye, who see the world like they've never seen it before, and they are sharing it. And some of them live in the outback in Australia. Some live in Africa in villages. Some people live in India. Some people live in Europe. Some people live in New York City. It's, you know what? It's been a great leveler.
Yeah.
We're getting to see the world, and we're giving people opportunity. So for me, it's fantastic. But the next step, and this is where we are now. First of all, we were super excited by this concept, and it's all happening, and social media is exploding, and everyone's taking pictures, and now there are these Insta-famous photographers and Insta-famous models and celebrities and all the rest of it. But the big change is, okay, what about the permanency of it all? How does this turn into a career? How do I look at my career 10 years down the line, or 20 years, 25 years down the line, like I do? And what is my career?
Yeah.
Was it a photograph that I published on November 13th, 2018, that got 25,000 likes, and then I never saw it again? Or is it a picture that is engraved into people's minds because it was a picture of the zeitgeist of the moment, that whenever anyone ever thinks about that day, they remember it and they can look it up and they can pick up that book and they can open that book and say, here's that moment. They can look at that photograph on the wall that's printed, or they look at that magazine and it was in print. Yeah. And it gives the picture not just gravitas,
yeah,
but it a sense of realness.
And that's part of the argument that a lot of, you know, you're 100% right. I believe everything you just said, you know, but that's part of the argument between digital versus print people, because the digital people, yeah, mass distribution, the internet is the best thing and the worst thing that has ever happened to humanity, right? So it is awesome. And then on the side of print, the argument, I was in the military, and part of the argument that we had between the digital or the videographers and the still photographers was that, you know, if a still photographer, this is back in the print days, you know, we would say, hey, I can put a print on the wall and anyone can come see it. Your stuff is digital, so they need gear and equipment to see your stuff. That argument has kind of gone away now that everyone can see a digital piece. But on the print side, like the romanticism of print, I want to get your thoughts on this. The romanticism of having a print on the wall, you're limiting your audience down to maybe, depending on who you are and if you're, you know, famous enough to have a gallery opening or something like that, maybe a few thousand people max. Most people, a couple of hundred. So how do you reconcile that? The, you know, it's great to have a print that will outlast digital, but at the same time, you're going to get fewer eyeballs on it. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You're true. That's the fact of the matter. But the reality is, too, is that you don't have to do one versus the other. Mm-hmm. It's not, I'm only going to make prints on the wall. I mean, you can be. And there are fine art photographers who clearly, you know, create their picture, print 10 images or maybe one image, and they sell that one image. And it has a value because there is only one of it. Yeah. And because, you know, and that is the value of the print. Now, you know, but most people, and certainly myself included, I love sharing my imagery with people, you know, en masse through social media and letting them look at it and talk about it and comment on it. And, you know, but I also see in the comments, people say, where can I buy this? Please, may I own this picture? I would love to hang this on my wall because I'd like to look at it day in, day out. You know, and it's calming. It reminds me of so-and-so. Or I love this picture. It's edgy. It's exciting. It's sexy. It could be whatever. It's about the emotion the photograph creates on that person. I mentioned to you earlier that I have a picture of Led Zeppelin from the 1960s hanging on my wall.
Yeah.
And I walk by this great picture of this band, an era where I was just an infant, but I see it and I think to myself, wow, what a moment in time, what a moment in history. And it reminds me of how things used to be, of how things were, the hairstyles, the look, the feel. And you can't have a constant reminder unless you have a digital frame that's stuck on one picture, which ultimately is a very similar thing, but that's a more expensive thing too. So it's a part of all aspects of it. It's about, you know, photography can be enjoyed in many ways and shapes and forms. And there is something very nostalgic and very nice and very heartwarming about books, about paper, about, you know, printed matter that, you know, from a, you know, when you pick up a book, and I've got one here, I've got one of my Mimeo Photos books right here in my hand, you know, you hold it, and this is actually one from one of my holidays in Greece, but, you know, it takes me back, and I can look, and I can study, and you can feel, and you can fall in love with the picture. If you're looking at a picture on a phone, it's, you know, 3 inches by 2 inches or whatever. And you know, it's very small and you're looking, you don't see the details. You don't fall into it. Think about it. When you go to a movie theater or an IMAX movie theater, you don't look for the one which has the smallest screen possible. I want to go to the IMAX and look at something on the postage stamp.
Right.
No, because you want to be surrounded by sound, you want to be surrounded by visuals, you want to be immersed in the product, and, you know, you want to see that, you want to live it, you want to be in the movie, right? So the same thing with a print. It's fantastic when you get a print that is huge, that is massive, that you know, when you go into a museum, it has the same feeling. So it's one of those things too where, you know, I keep pictures on my refrigerator, I have pictures on my walls, I like books, but I also use the digital platform.
I love that. See that, and that was the answer I was looking for. It's not an or, it's an and, right? It's always, you don't have to do digital or print. You don't have to do JPEG or RAW. You don't have to do Nikon or Canon. If you want to, you can do both, right? And depending on what best suits you. But that brings us full circle. So you mentioned the company that you're involved with, along with all those other awesome entertainment and educational things that you're doing. You're also involved with a tech company that is sort of jumping in where Apple decided to exit. Tell me about that and your rationale for joining the company.
Well, I have become the creative director of Mimeo Photos. And most of you may not have heard of Mimeo Photos, and that's because they were the back end of those incredible books that you would print if you were an Apple user and you went to either iPhoto or you went to Photos right now and you go to print a book in Apple, you will be able to print a book. And I showed you one I've just printed for my Greece vacation I had this year. And you would go and you'd select your vacation, you'd print that book, but it would then go to Mimeo that printed the books for you. And a lot of people didn't know that, because why would you know who printed your books? You went through Apple. Well, Apple stepped out of the printing book business in October, and they handed the reins over, and Mimeo Photos was created. And it's a program that you use within through Apple's program of Photos or iPhones, depending on which level of computer you have. But you have to download the Mimeo Photos app from the App Store on your laptop, on your desktop, and then it just launches with Photo, and you create your book through Photos, just like you would have done before if you were an Apple user. And it gives, we've created the ability for people to actually convert books, their old books, so they're not left in the dark. Created a conversion tool. So old books that you created that you want to print again, you can still do. And we've also created this exciting competition called the My City Mimeo Photos competition, which is challenging people to get out there and photograph their city, wherever they live, whether it be Greece, Thailand, or whether it be New York or New Jersey, or quite frankly, Tokyo, Shanghai, London, wherever you are, share.
I want to talk about that, because that is You glossed over it, but that is really, really cool what you guys are doing. So Mimeo is allowing you to take, basically, if I got this right, so Apple had Photos, you know, the basically started with iPhoto back in the day, and then transitioned to Apple Photos, and historically they had the ability within the app for you to make prints and books from. The company that was in charge of the books was the company that you're the creative director for, right? And now people can still continue to do that, probably better than ever. And is it, it's on all devices? It's on the Mac, it's on iOS, you know, et cetera, or is it just on the Mac?
It's just on Mac at the moment, because it was a Mac extension.
Right.
And so if you want to join our competition, if you want to have a go at the My City's Mimeo Photos competition, borrow a Mac. Because the great part of this is it's free to download the app, by the way. So there's no cost to you. Yeah. There's no risk to download the app. You're just going to download the free app, Mimeo Photos free app. You're going to create your book on your city, your village, wherever you live. And to enter the actual competition is free as well. There's a code, it's called My City MP, and it's all there in the information. If you go to my Instagram account, which is Nigel Barker, or you go to Mimeo Photos Instagram account, there's a link in the bio which allows you to see all the details, the contest details. Yeah. And you have until the end of November, about November 26th, I believe, to enter the competition. And again, it's free, free to do.
And you're judging, and they can hang out. The part of the prize is they can hang out with you, right? So they create a book, you guys judge it, they pick the best one, you pick the best one, and you're bringing people in from whatever corner of the globe they happen to be on into New York to hang out and rub elbows with you at a location yet to be disclosed. Is that what I'm understanding?
So it's actually pretty cool. This is the first time in my career, and I've done a lot of competitions, fun things where I've invited, you know, whether it's America's Next Top Model, whether it's The Face, whether it's Top Photographer, I've never been able to say, no matter where you are in the world, you're a part of this competition. And that's always been something that's upset me. I felt bad for people who've been like, oh, but I live in Canada. Oh, but I live in Tokyo. Oh, but I live in London. I live in Amsterdam. I can't do this competition. This time you can. This is a true global competition. We're talking to everyone the world over. Send in your best book of your city, Show us what. Show us where you live. Show us how much you love and you're inspired by your surroundings. Create a book. It's free to enter, free to download the app, Mimeo Photos app, and then I will judge it. I will call you myself to let you know you've won. You then win a trip for two from wherever you are in the world to New York, all expenses paid, and you're going to get a masterclass in photography one-on-one with me. And I'm taking you to one of my very favorite spots in New York City, which is incredibly exclusive. We only just got the ability to permission to shoot there. And so we're going to take you there, and you're going to get unprecedented views of New York City. And before I give it away, because I don't want to, It's really, really, really special, and I will be announcing it very, very soon towards the, when we actually get closer towards the end of the competition. So start work now. Collect those pictures. If you've already created a book, submit that. You know, you can convert an old book, but you can also make a new one. The main thing is get out there, download that Mimeo Photos app.
That is fantastic. What's sad about all this is that I think by virtue of me conducting this interview, I'm now disqualified to be in the contest. So I won't be entering.
Go as your grandma. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, congratulations on all your successes, man. It's a pleasure to chat with you. And it sounds like you're not slowing down on all this stuff that you're doing. You got a number of initiatives going on, and you're the creative director of this company that is helping people create, awesome print-based products. What's next for Nigel Barker? What's next on your horizon that you can share with us?
There's a lot of different things going on. I mean, I think the world of photography has become so amazing right now, and there are so many people interested in it and fascinated with it. For me, one of the greatest things that I can do is actually give back.
Yeah.
And I certainly enjoy working with organizations like the United Nations. I work with their Girl Up Foundation and the He for She movement. I've recently created a book, which I can show you, which I did as well with Mimeo Photos, which I did for Laureus Sports. And that this was basically celebrating top athletes. Carl Lewis here. And the book is full of amazing athletes. And the idea, this is a picture of Missy Franklin that we shot as well. And again, by creating a book like this, I can then sell the book to make money for the charity and help raise awareness and what have you. And Laureus Sports actually introduces sports to areas that where they can't afford it, and it brings children together in impoverished areas and gives them the ability to play sports, takes them, off the streets and puts them, in a team. So it teaches them about team and working in a team. And of course, sports is a great thing for children. I've got two kids, and I know it's taught my kids both responsibility, working together, and it teaches them how to both win and lose. So sports is very important. So I love, through my photography, being able to help the community. So that's really what I'm most focused on these days.
I love it. I love it. Nigel Barker, thank you so much for taking the time today, man. It's interesting to hear your perspective and sort of the egalitarianism between print and digital and where all this stuff is going. And this really cool contest that you guys are rocking, a worldwide contest to come and hang out and shoot and learn in New York City. So congratulations on all your successes. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it too.
All right. Thanks. Nigel Barker. See you later, sir.
Thank you.
This is Twit.